This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Barbara Cavada is in the news, in the Dayton Daily News. Some of you may have seen this. She came from New York to Dayton. And the reporter asked her, how was it that you ended up in Dayton and how did you start your chocolate business in Belmont called Barbara's Chocolates? Here's what she said. I met the love of my life when I was 17. He died of an aneurysm at 29. After that, I wanted to take my son and get out of New York. I took my mother to Florida where she was in a nursing home. And I started looking at places for my son and I to live. I wanted the Midwest, wasn't even sure why. I pictured farms and thought it would be a natural and healthy place to raise my son. I closed my eyes and put my finger on a state, on a map of the United States, and it was Ohio. So she said, I'm moving to Ohio. Then she looked at airplane rates and fares and found the cheapest rates at the time were to Dayton. I came here on October 13th, 2006. I still have those plane tickets. Now that may seem like a remarkable story, and I'm not mocking her or making fun of anything she did in her journey from New York to Dayton, Ohio. Someone said I could tell this story after second service. He said, as long as you don't give my name, because my kids don't even know this. And I said, well, what's the story? He said, when I was in college, he said, we put a map of Ohio up in the dorm room and we would take darts and we would throw darts and then we would drive to that place to meet girls. And I thought, your wife met you because of a dart throw? That's how it happened? And he said, my kids don't know it, don't use my name, but that's, he was said, I said, you're kidding. He said, no, I'm serious. That's every weekend we went to a different city in Ohio because of a dart throw. Might give somebody an idea here instead of, you know, eharmony.com, it'll be dartthrow.com, whatever. Just a thought. The reason I tell that story by Barbara Cavada is this. Today in the lesson we study from the Apostle Paul, the last thing he says after writing to the church at Thessalonica twice, he says this, pray for us. Pray that God will work in our lives, God will work in our ministry, that God will take the words we share, and God will multiply it. What would happen if you took prayer so seriously that the last thing you said to somebody was, pray for me? The last thing you say to your children, I'm going to pray for you today, and I want you to pray for me. Your spouse goes to work, I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray for me. I'm convinced that prayer is the greatest weakness in the life of the average Christian, you and me. Prayer is the greatest weakness in your life and in my life, and yet it's the most powerful source of direction and guidance in a person's life, and it's the thing we neglect the most. I'm amazed at people who will move across the country, and I'm not mocking anyone, and you'll say, did you pray about it? No. We looked at Consumer Reports, we looked at this, we looked at that, the Best Places to Live book at the library. Did you pray about it? No, didn't think to pray about it. When you bought your house, did you pray about it? No, we just looked at about 10 or 12 properties and decided. And all I'm saying is this, are we neglecting a power and some direction and blessing in our lives simply because we refuse to pray? This is the last message out of the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. First five verses of 2nd Thessalonians 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. You need to underline that in your Bible, especially for your children. The Lord will protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. For most people, prayer is the last resort instead of the first response. True story, I remember a grandmother who was ill in another city, and her family came to her and said, Grandma, we've tried every specialist and we've taken you to two or three hospitals. I think we're going to have to pray. And the grandmother said, has it come to that? Has it come to that? Like it's the last resort and we've exhausted every other possibility and now we have to pray. A lot of people have that attitude that prayer is your last resort rather than your first response. Let's look at verse 1 again. Finally, brothers, or as to other matters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. The word of God has power on its own. That's the implication of this. There's an independence to the word of God. What do I mean by that? The word of God has power that has nothing to do with the one speaking it. I've said this before. If there's a miracle in preaching, the miracle is not in the delivery. The miracle is in the reception. That God takes his word, however it's shared, and he uses it as he sees fit. I had a wedding in Columbus, Ohio, years ago. A young man came up to me, he's about 35, 36, 37 years of age. And he said, "You don't know me, but I know you. 10 years ago, when I was 25, he said, I was at a funeral that you conducted at such and such a funeral home. And when you shared the word of God, I was not a Christian, I was not a believer, but he said, something happened to me at that funeral. He said, I can't explain it. Something happened when you read those verses about heaven and you read the verses about judgment. Something convicted me." Well, that's the word of God that has power, independent of the speaker. There's a sense in which the word of God spreads on its own, and God uses his word. And my point in telling that is you don't have a clue, and I don't have a clue about what God does with his word in the lives of other people. You may have shared a verse of scripture, for instance, with a relative and thought, well, that went on deaf ears. A lot of good that did. You don't know. You don't know the seeds that were planted. What's it mean that the word of God may be honored? Well, what's it mean to honor something? You've heard me define honor before. To honor your parents means you place value on your parents. When a husband honors his wife, it means he places value upon her. He places value upon her opinions, her thoughts, her emotional needs, and so forth. A wife does the same for a husband. To honor somebody means you place value on the other person. We live in a culture, get this, that not only doesn't read the Word of God, we don't honor it at all. I don't mean to be negative here, but we live in a culture in 2013, get this, that doesn't simply have a disregard for the Bible. We live in a culture that has disdain, contempt, an almost antagonistic, vicious attitude toward the Bible. And that's why Paul said, I thought this was interesting in verse 2, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. Really? Yeah, that's right. Not everyone has faith in your family. Not everyone at where you work has faith. Not everybody on your street has faith. And we live in a world, a mixed multitude of people who are believers, and then a lot of people aren't. Most people aren't. We live in a culture where there's not an honoring of the Word of God. There's contempt for the Word of God. Notice verse 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." You know what that implies? Two things. There is an evil one, Satan, but also we need protection.
Well, we're going to continue that thought line about having protection from the evil one. That may sound like something off the wall to you, but let me tell you something, folks, it's real. That's tomorrow on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131, the Family Talk Channel.
Notice verse 3. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." You know what that implies? Two things. There is an evil one, Satan, but also we need protection. And guess who needs protection? Your children. I don't say this sarcastically at all, but I'm amazed at parents who rarely, if ever, pray for their children. Never occurs to them to pray for a son or daughter at school. Never occurs to them to pray for their daughter at college. And we pray for protection. Let me give you a visual illustration of what you're doing in intercessory prayer. It's not that dramatic, but you need to watch. When you intercede for another person and you pray, you're taking your one hand and you're reaching out to God. And you're taking your other hand and you're putting it on the person. And you're the go-between. You're the connector between the Lord God Almighty and your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your parent, whatever the case may be. And most people don't realize that. The power of intercessory prayer. I'm beginning to believe the older I get and the longer I'm in the ministry, prayer is the most important thing we do. I pray for people at Crossview all the time. I pray for you, and you don't even know it. I'll go down through names in our directory, and I'll say, oh, I want to pray for that family today. I make 30-day prayer covenants with people where I say, I'm going to commit to praying for you and your family for 30 days. And you know what I do? I do that. I honor that. Don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them for 30 days and then not pray. That's a sin to be forgiven. Like any other sin requires the forgiveness of Christ. It's a big deal to tell somebody you're going to pray for them. Is anybody here willing to admit that you listen to a show that's on between 1 in the morning and 5 o'clock at night on the radio called Coast to Coast AM with George Neary? Anybody? Am I the only weird person here? There's one other weird person here who listens to it too. When I can't sleep sometimes, I have an earphone, and I'm grew up with that, listening to radio on earphone. And he has all the crazy people who believe in Bigfoot and UFOs, and aliens landed in my backyard last Tuesday, and they get all those kinds of phone calls. But one day it gripped my heart. He interviewed a Satanist. He interviewed a man who was a warlock, who was into witchcraft big time. And young people were calling in asking questions. I want to get into this stuff. I'm interested in the occult. I want to get into Satanism. And one young man called in, sounded like he was in his 20s. And he said, my parents are Christians, but I want to get into witchcraft and into the occult. And here's what he said. I found this intriguing. He said, tell your parents you believe in Jesus. Tell your parents you read the Bible. Tell the parents, if they live in another city, that you go to church. Keep them off your back. And then he said this, very telling. He said, the worst thing that could happen for you would be for your mom and dad to start praying for you. What does that tell me as a parent? What does that tell you as a parent? If a warlock, somebody who's big time into witchcraft, who calls himself a Satanist, says the worst thing that could happen to your kids is for them to be prayed for by their parents, I want to pray for my children. And you should do the same thing. It's the most important thing. You could be the intercessor for your son, your daughter, in a way that you don't know until eternity. I have this theory about prayer. And it sounds, you know, melodramatic, but I believe it with all my heart that someday in heaven, somebody's going to come up and say, you prayed for me. You prayed for me. And we don't know the impact on lives because we pray for people. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 3. I love this. God's faithful. The Lord is faithful even when you're not faithful and even when I'm not faithful. Remember that. God is faithful even when you and I aren't. Some of you grew up with a hymn that I grew up with. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions. They fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. What does that mean? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. I almost missed this thought. If God has the power to direct you into his love and into Christ's perseverance, which are two interesting phrases in themselves, as somebody pointed out to me after one of the services, there was a message in those two phrases, God's love and Christ's perseverance. Doesn't it make sense he can lead you in Ohio? Doesn't it make sense if he can lead you into God's love and he can lead you into Christ's perseverance? Why would you think he can't lead you in a job search? Why would you think for 2 seconds he can't direct in looking for a house? Why would you think for 2 seconds he can't work in the life of a son or daughter who's turned their back on the Lord? But because you interceded, he'll do something and he'll work in their life. I really believe that. Jean is a woman, I would guess, is in her late 60s, maybe early 70s. She's from Salem, Oregon. Powerful story. I want you to hear it. Many years ago, on a hot, stuffy August morning, I received devastating news. My precious brother, still in his 30s, collapsed and died of a massive heart attack. It felt like a cannon blast that came out of the middle of nowhere and blew a big hole in my heart. A few months later, I was in the hospital facing life and death surgery, the outcome uncertain. My poor, grieving parents had just buried their son, and now their daughter was facing a life and death medical situation. As I lay in the same hospital where my brother died, I no longer felt young and invincible. I was downright scared. I was scared to death. The hospital admittance form asked questions about religion. I don't know if they still do this at hospitals today, but at least years ago, I remember this. Did I have a particular faith? I checked none. Did I want a visit from the hospital chaplain? I checked no and underlined the word no twice. I lay in my room for what seemed like a dozen or so medical people preparing me for surgery. My heart was in a knot. I was just staring at the cream-colored ceiling. When there was a knock at the door, I just assumed it was somebody else from the hospital. An older man wearing glasses came in and said, "Are you a doctor?" She did, and he said, "No, I'm the hospital chaplain." She said, "I specifically said no visits from the hospital chaplain." He said, "Yeah, I know. I just wanted to ask you if I could pray with you." And she said something interesting. He said, I know that you don't have a particular faith, but if it's all right, I'd like to pray for you." I cringed, she said. I didn't know what I believed. I prepared myself for a lecture. Instead, he smiled. And then before I could answer and tell him no, he said, "You know, Gene, you're God's property too. You know, Gene, you're God's property too." Those words melted any resistance I had to the idea of prayer. The surgery went well, and I recovered. Now, here's what she writes. I read all of that to read the last paragraph. "I would face many other challenges in life, but whenever I felt the need for spiritual comfort, I relied on those words, 'You are God's property too.'" What a wonderful thought, and how much better our world would be if we saw each other that way.
Well, I want you to tune in tomorrow to Cross Hope to hear the last portion of the last message from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
What a wonderful thought, and how much better our world would be if we saw each other that way. You don't go home with anything else today. I want you to go home with your God's property. You don't belong to the system. You don't belong to the state of Ohio. You don't belong to the United States of America. You're God's property. He made you, and he bought you with the blood of his son. You're his twice. You know, if you had something in your house that you made, you crafted, you fashioned on your own, wouldn't it be arrogant of me to say, "That's not yours"? And you say, "I made it. Don't tell me it's not mine. I made it. I fashioned it." You realize how arrogant we must be to the Lord when we look at the God of creation and say, "Get your hands off me. I'm going to do my own thing, live my own life. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want to have anything to do with your word." And we are God's property twice. He made us and he bought us. Today's a message about prayer. Somebody today needs to start deciding to pray for your family. There's a husband here today. I don't know who you are, but you need to start praying for your wife today. And there's a wife here today. You need to start praying for your husband. You need to stop being angry at him and start praying for him. You need to stop being ticked at him and start praying for him. There are parents who need to start praying for their children and committing their children to the Lord. Why? Because there are people out there that I referenced earlier. Not everyone has faith. And I guarantee you the world system apart from Christ has a plan for your son or daughter, and it doesn't include Jesus Christ. And it doesn't include the Word of God. Decide. Decide today you're going to be a man or woman of prayer. New decision for somebody today. New territory. New turf. But let me tell you this, it can change your life, because today, with one hand, you're going to reach out and touch the Lord, and with another hand, your other hand, touch your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, whoever you're praying for. There was a spirit of prayer in the second service where somebody came forward and said, "We've got to pray for my friend. I want to stand in the gap for a friend who needs a lung transplant." And we did. He wasn't here. He didn't know we were praying for him. But God knows him. God knows his needs. God knows your needs. Your needs may be unspoken. Doesn't matter. The one who created you, the one who bought you, knows your heart and knows your problems, knows your situation, knows your hang-ups, knows your temptations, knows your addictions, knows everything about you. He's the one who said, "I love you. The proof is the cross. The proof is the cross. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for speaking to us today from Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonians, last message. Lord, speak to somebody today who needs to decide to be a man of prayer. Not in some pious, phony, religious way. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in a humble way where a man who's never prayed before for his family is going to decide today, this day, I'm going to start praying for my family as never before. A wife and mother, single person, I'm going to start praying for people today in a way I've never prayed for before, because there's power. There is power in prayer. The prayer of a righteous man or woman, the Bible says, avails much. It produces results because you do hear our prayers. You promise to hear, to listen. That's what it means to hear our prayers. You listen to us. I want to talk to the one who's listening. That's you, your son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, my friend, if there's a part of this message you'd like to hear again, or you missed it, you can go to our national website, crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org, to listen to any part of this message or to find out more about this ministry we call Crosshope.
You have been listening to Crosshope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.